Good morning. First of all, children and young people. This talk is absolutely about you and for you, but not necessarily all to you. Although I'd love you to listen in because we need you to pray and to be involved in what we're doing too. However, while we're talking and while you're listening in, if you would like to, over there, the wonderful Dee and Jen have a whole set of little balls of air drying clay. And what we would love is by the end of the service, could we have small clay models of basically everybody in church so that we have a big family of God, a collection of all of us as church together. You can start by making yourself and then maybe the person you came with and then just sort of spill out from there, really. But could you get creative and could you try and make them as kind of realistically looking like people as we can? You know, don't worry too much about arms and legs. They can be a bit blobby, that's fine. But, you know, we'll give the dinosaurs a miss today. Is that okay? So if you would like to do that, the clay and Jen and Dee are waiting for you over there. But please do listen in to what we've got to say. Let's just start with a prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are all here today to worship you. And we're aware that not just us worshipping you, but through the ages and around this nation, there are people meeting together to worship you. And we ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, would you take our words and use them for your glory? And would you help each one of us to grow more in the likeness of your Son, Jesus? Because we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Over to Libby.
It's on. Yes, lovely. Could I invite Charlie and my other readers to come up and help me? So Charlie's going to read the reading for us, and then I'm going to speak for a bit.
Ooh. A reading from Matthew, chapter 18, verses 5 and 10 to 14. Whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost.
Thanks very much, Charlie. Isn't this a wonderfully reassuring parable? It speaks to us of Jesus' love for every single person, regardless of their situation, that he would go to any lengths to search for those that have gone astray, and that there's a huge celebration in heaven when they're found and come home. I suspect that this parable will be one that many of you are familiar with. But I wonder if you're like me and hadn't noticed that Jesus tells this parable in the middle of a discussion about how important children are. At the beginning, in verse 5, Matthew tells us that Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me." In verse 10, "See that you don't look down on one of these little ones." And at the end, he says, "In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." I feel sure that Jesus is making sure we know how important children are to him and urging us to seek for and reach the lost, both adults and children. As we celebrate our children, young people, and the work of their leaders today, let's also remember those children that are like lost sheep, that are dealing with difficulties in their lives that make them anxious or afraid, those that don't yet know how much God loves them, and that through knowing him, they might have life and have it to the full. As Jim Glover told us in May, you may remember, the situation for a growing number of young people is not good, and we're going to hear a few facts from my helpers now.
1 in 10 children feel unable to cope with the school day, and two-thirds
of children say that they worry all the time.
422,910 children have been excluded from school in the UK this past year.
Every day, 45 children are excluded from nursery, reception, and year one.
88% of boys in youth offending institutes have previously been excluded from school.
Nearly half of our churches, 48%, have fewer than five under 16s.
Where there are no young people, decline is more likely.
However, churches with young people are twice as likely to be growing.
Thank you very much, everyone. These are challenging statistics, talking about real children and real situations in our village too. If Jesus tells us we have a responsibility to look out for the lost, what are we going to do about those children and families who are missing out on life in all its fullness? How good are we at acting like Jesus to find and restore the lost? What can we do? Well, last year on our Vision Day, you may remember, children, young people and families emerged as one of the three areas of focus. And here is our vision statement. Imagine more children and young people engaged, involved, participating, learning, connecting, enjoying and experiencing God. Imagine the energy, the vibrancy and the excitement. It's a lovely picture. And then we identified some priorities for the next couple of years. These focus on our Christian life with children and families on Sundays and midweek in our community. But before we touch on the way forward in more depth, Ellie is going to share some stories with us.
Who first told you about Jesus and taught you Bible stories? I wonder if it was mum or dad, a Sunday school teacher, a vicar, a grandparent, a friend. I wonder how old you were when you first heard about Jesus. Children here, you are in good company. Most of us adults here today probably heard first about Jesus when we were children. Those early years are really important. So let's just remind ourselves of our reading from Matthew. Jesus bringing a child out of the crowd and saying, a good shepherd cares about each sheep enough to go searching for the one who's missing. And let's just read together what he says in the next, just after that. He says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Let's read it again. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. In the same way as that good shepherd going after that lost sheep, making sacrifices to go off and find them. I wonder who are the missing ones in our church? Who are the missing ones out there in our village who don't yet know the good news of Jesus for themselves? If we go back in time, there are around 80 generations between Jesus telling that story and you and me here today. 80 generations of people who've passed on the good news of the Christian faith, ensuring that the next generation is not lost, but knows the grace and the love of God lived out in daily life and worship. I wonder if you can just imagine yourself standing in that timeline, receiving the good news. All those generations standing behind, passing that good news on to us. And we've got it. And we've got to pass it on to the next generation. We're not on our own here. We're part of a very rich heritage of Christian believers, of lost sheep finders, and we serve an almighty God. So today is an opportunity to celebrate the people in our church and our children who are passing on faith to the next generation. Now, first of all, I know some people don't like doing this, but just humour me anyway. If you're a parent of somebody under the age of 18 today, could I ask you just to stand up, if you're able? Because I think we need to recognise the important role that each one of you are playing. You have the most influential role in helping your children to learn, develop and grow and become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say, I hope we would all want to say, well done for being here. Well done for what you're doing. And we want to encourage you and we want to pray for you and stand with you. Now, if you're a leader or helper in our children's work, and that might be midweek at Cookie Club as well as on Sunday morning, some of you are already standing, but anyone else, could you just stand up for us as well, please? We've got Dee over there who's just stood up, and Jez as well, and there are a number of people who are already standing who are part of our children's work. Thank you. I think we should all give them a round of applause, actually. Because each week, faithfully, they've been helping our children to learn and to grow in faith. Now, I'm just going to ask you all, if you're able, would you mind just standing up as a way of saying, actually, parents and children's leaders, you're not on your own. So let's all just stand. Just as a way of saying, yes, as a church, we think that passing on this wonderful gift of the good news that we've received to the next generation is really important. And yes, we stand with you, parents and children's and young people's leaders, in this important task. We are all lost sheep finders. Let's just look around at each other and recognise that we all have a role to play, whether it's in prayer or practically, in enabling the next generation to meet Jesus for themselves. You can sit down. Thank you. And let's remember to pray for our children. Let's remember to pray for our parents, grandparents, you have an important role too, and for our children's and young people's leaders. How about going up to somebody at the end of a church, not just asking about their week, how about saying if they're a parent or a leader, how's it going? How was it today if you were leading a group? What can I be praying for you? Let's stand alongside one another and encourage one another. Now, I asked our leaders and helpers to share some of the things that they love about leading and helping with the children and why they do it. And these were some of the things that they said. I love the young people's enthusiasm for taking part in the activities that I plan for them. It's a pleasure and a privilege to play a part in the spiritual journey of children within the church and those visiting. In preparing for the sessions, I gain a deeper understanding myself of the relevant Bible passages. And Jez, thank you for this quote, which I absolutely love. You could tell it was Jez, even if you didn't. Yeah. Anyway, for me, it's about leaving lasting memories in receptive minds about faith, values, and a code for living that will always then be deep in the neural pathways of our young people. Whatever they then do, wherever they go, story seeds that have been sown may grow slowly. Memories may explode in a glitter bomb one day. Thank you, Jez. I help because I really enjoy it. Thank you, each leader and helper, for all that you do and for your care and your love for the children, which is shown in so many ways. I wonder who here could join that team, because we need you. Now, we'll come back to that later. That's Sundays, and that's absolutely vital for our children and, as we heard from the statistics, for the health of our church family. But faith, of course, is more than just Sundays. And as a church, we support our village primary school, Surrey Hills All Saints C of E Primary School. And Alan and Tony Berry from Abinger Common and I take it in turns to lead an assembly each week. We use the Bible Society's Open the Book assembly programme. And it is such a privilege each week to go in and see those children. I love it when I see their eyes light up because they know that they're about to hear a retelling of the Bible story and they might just get to take part. Quite often as I walk across the playground, somebody's coming up to me saying, can I do it this week? Can I be in it, please? The children are loving hearing God's word and we need to be opening it up to them. If we don't tell them, who is going to? And last year we tried something new, first at Christmas and then at Easter. We did an after-school service with parents and children celebrating those events. And parents and children came together for an hour of craft, of songs, Bible retelling and prayer. And we had people, I can look around and see a number of you here from this church who made that happen. And 88 participants at Easter engaging with those Easter events. People we haven't seen on a Sunday morning, but who were there hearing God's word and enjoying taking part. Now, we've got an open door to build on this, and I'd like to tell you about that later. And then St. John's on a Thursday morning, we have Cookie Club, our parent, baby, and toddler group. And Eddie Cross and Ian Chapel and Rob Chitty, they faithfully set out the furniture before anybody turns up. One of my favourite things in the week is seeing Eddie carefully laying out the dinosaurs and deciding where to put them. And they've gone before the parents and children arrive, usually. But every week, they're doing that as an act of love and service. We've got babies being held, tired mums just being given a cup of coffee they haven't had to make for themselves and being heard and have conversation and laughter. Grandparents, carers, coming along, enjoying seeing little ones toddling about and enjoying conversation for themselves too. Dee doing the washing up. Thank you, Dee. Toys, songs, drinks, snacks, craft. Building relationships, building friendships and sharing life. It's essential. I had a mum tell me at the end of last term, I don't know what I'd do if this wasn't here on a Thursday morning. Particularly now with no preschool in the village and childcare, early years care getting squeezed. It is essential that we have these places of care and love and friendship. Somebody told me recently, I just miss having a cuddle with my grandchild. Well, we got a lot of surrogate ones. So, you know, if you fancy it, we'd love to see you. I'd love to have you as part of the team. We need a wide and varied group of people willing to help with these things. At the moment, it's just me leading Cookie Club alongside some helpers doing the setting up and the washing up. And if I'm not there, we don't have a leader. That's a problem, actually. So please think about it. If it's something you might be interested in finding out more about, come and talk to me. I won't sign you up on the spot, but I will tell you more about it. So before we go on to think about how we might all be involved, because there's lots of different ways, let's just pause and we'll sing a song together, a worship song that reminds us that no matter how old, how young, how big, how small we are each precious to God. And those children who are busy making those clay models, why don't you join in with singing this song too? You might even manage some actions if your hands aren't too covered in clay. Let's sing Big Family of God together now.
I know that when we've sung this in the past, we've all pretended to be in the playground and been pointing, you and you, and that's terribly impolite, isn't it? You may wish to use playground language, or you may go, you and you and you and you, which is kind of a little bit more sorry, isn't it? Do you want to stand?
Some of us are big and tall, some of us are very small, some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books, some of us like feeding ducks, that's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone he's made. God loves each of us in a special way. That's you and 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 you. God loves you. God loves you. That's you and 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 you. We're part of the big family of God. Some of us have curly hair, some of us have specs to wear, all of us have different families. Some of us are very loud! But God loves everyone He's made. God loves each of us in a special way. That's you and 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 you. God loves you. God loves you. That's you and 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 you. We're part of the big family of God. We're part of the big family of God. We're part of the big family of God.
And so we have our vision of seeing more children experience life with Jesus. We know the importance Jesus placed on children and on his command to include children in our search for the lost. And we've reflected on the difficult situations that some young people and families find themselves in. And Lily's told us about what we're doing already. So what steps are we going to take as God's Church in Westcott to move closer to seeing our vision become a reality? It's great to have the vision, but we need to do something about it. How can we support children and families in our community? Where do we go from here? In my work as a teaching assistant at Surrey Hills All Saints, I know children with emotional, behavioural and social difficulties who find it really difficult to access the learning and reach their full potential because of those difficulties. Can you imagine trying to concentrate on, say, long division, which I hated at school, I couldn't do it. But imagine trying that difficult thing when you're already anxious and fearful. It's just not that child's priority. What if there was a way for our church to make a real difference to the children in that situation? So they could experience God's love and what it's like living the full life God wants for them. I'd like to show you a clip about the work of a Christian charity called Transforming Lives for Good, TLG for short, that partners with local churches and schools to run a scheme called Early Intervention, designed to provide one-to-one coaching support to struggling children and young people. And I just want to make clear that's not struggling, that's not coaching for academic, it's coaching for their personal life. The thinking is that through intervening early, these children won't go down the path to exclusion from school. So I'd like you to watch this and then I'll talk a little bit more about it.
TLG is a Christian charity supporting churches to help children at risk of exclusion from school. At the heart of everything we do is just the belief that the local church is the hope of the world, and actually there is a loving, caring community that can really make a difference for those that are struggling and in need. One of the ways that we do that is through early intervention. I think the tragedy when a child is struggling at school is that there are parents that dread school pickup time because they know that there'll be a long list from a teacher of what's not worked, what he or she's done today. Early intervention works by a trained volunteer coming alongside one individual child in school, spending just an hour a week for a whole school year. That commitment to that child for that hour is just amazing in terms of the difference and impact that can be made.
I was throwing tantrums. I wouldn't listen to teachers. I would not like I'll, when I'm not supposed to, and during lessons I don't like, I would read books.
Before Aomi started coaching with TLG, he was very disruptive in class, very disrespectful to his teachers, found it very difficult to maintain friendships.
So the first session I coached Aomi was actually in the pupil referral unit. We started to build up a good relationship with one another. He really looks forward to the sessions. He loved the practical elements of the workshops and the different projects. So he has really enjoyed it.
Steve, he helps me. We do like different projects. Right now we're on rockets. And after we've done the project, we talk.
He's made some really good friends this last few months, and friends that I know that are going to stick with him. It's enabled us as a church to see the wider focus of TLG, that it's not just something that happens midweek during the school term, that it's actually spreading into the life of the congregation.
We've seen that churches of all shapes and sizes can make a difference through TLG early intervention. Whether you've got 5 people or 500 people, every church, every part of the country can make a difference and do that so quickly. There are children growing up in some of the most tragic circumstances, those that face poverty and deprivation, and that then means that they face a huge challenge in terms of engaging in school. And just to give 1 hour from the week, we can all do that. But actually, in doing that, we make such an impact on children who need that help right now.
I wonder, could our church work with TLG to provide coaching for children at Surrey Hills? We've got so many brilliant people in our congregation. Could you maybe give 1 hour a week for 1 year to support one child? Or maybe you could help with preparing resources or commit to pray for the project to enable us to run it. The school is extremely keen to run this program, and they've already identified some children who they think would benefit. And I would love to be able to offer this to the children of our village school and their families. And if it was possible, I would like to start this in January, which involves some preparation between now and then. If you think you could help or you would like to know more, please come and find me after the service. I'd love to tell you more about it. Or you can take a look at the TLG website, and the website address is on your newsletter. Ellie.
So I'd just like to affirm the fantastic work that they already do at Surrey Hills School. The staff there are fabulous and they work very hard to support the children. So this isn't about sort of taking over from what they already do. They do a brilliant role. This is about saying, yes, our village school, we want to come alongside you. We want to support you and affirm you in what you're doing. And we want to help you in those areas where it's not so easy for the staff to do that. And it's something that, yeah, Libby and I would love you to consider. Now, alongside supporting children who need that regular one-to-one support, it would be great to be able to start up again the weekly Christian After School Club that we tried out a couple of years ago. This was a fun club with games and drinks and snacks and craft and Bible stories and worship music and discussions focused on sharing stories from the Bible with links to Christian faith and values. And the children, the year 5 and 6 children who came, enjoyed it so much that just last year, this is over a year after we'd finished, I had year 6 children coming up to me saying, "Why isn't it running? Can it start up again, please?" That in itself says quite a lot to me. It was great because we were building friendships. We were sharing life together every week, just an hour, Wednesday after school. That's all it took. But because we were meeting every week, we could build on what we'd done the week before. And we could get to know each other. And I saw, Liz saw, Libby saw, Ali saw, Dee saw, those who were helping to run this, saw that progression and that development in the children's understanding. And these were kids, most of whom don't come to church, who we don't see. But they were learning and they were growing. And the parents knew what they were sending their kids to. We were very, very clear that this was a Christian after school club. It'd be great to be able to run this again from January, with also a twice a term in that space of time as just a simple service that all parents, all children are invited to come along and join in with. Now, all these fantastic things, TLG, the after-school club called Kids Rock, Cookie Club, Sunday morning groups, we need prayer. We need regular leaders and helpers, as well as people who can help from time to time. We need people who are willing to just give a hand to cut out some resources, maybe. Set out stuff before anybody arrives. Who here could just think about finding out more about one of those things? We've got in your service sheet a form which Libby will talk about and show you in just a minute. But it's not signing your life away. It's not saying that this is what you're committing to do. It's saying, yeah, I'm interested in finding out a bit more about that. Could you tell me? So we'd love you to consider that, please. And Sundays. At the moment, we are really short on children's leaders and helpers. We've got one Sunday a month covered. That's it. So if we want to see children and families regularly in our church, as a church, we've got to do something about that. Otherwise, we can't run children's groups. And I, for one, would hate to see that happen. I think we all love and value our children so much, we want to see something fun happening for them each week. The same goes for Activate, the 11 to 14 group. I can do one a month. Stu can do one each half term. But we have to have two leaders, so a leader and a helper each week. Please have a think about it. This stuff is important and it's immediate. And just going back to what our leaders and helpers were saying, this isn't just fun. It isn't just fantastic to be engaging with our wonderful children and young people. It's actually good for our faith too. It helps us to engage with God's word and grow in our faith. And it's essential for the life of the church. It's vital for our children's spiritual life. So do come and see us after the service if you'd like to find out more. Picture again those people behind us, those generations who've passed the message on to us. How are we going to pass it on to the next generation?
The very first step is to come to the meeting on Tuesday evening. If the whole church gets together, we can make a plan for the way forward. It may be that we can't do all these things. It would be lovely if we could. But we need to get together as a group to decide our way forward so that we all know where we're going and that it's a joint adventure. Thank you. Let's now just take a quiet moment for each of us to reflect on what we've heard, open to what God might be saying to us. You should have a little response card in your paperwork. And I'd like you to fill any of that in if you can, to just give us an indication if you'd like to know more. And maybe you could hand these to Alan as you come for communion, or to one of the assistants. And after a minute or two, I'll pray a prayer of thanksgiving. So let's have a moment of quiet and ask God to speak to us about where our part is in each of these. God our Father, we thank you for all the children in our church family, for their parents and for the Celebrate leaders and all who teach them about life with you. We pray that as we focus on your vision for our children and young families' work, you would send your Holy Spirit to guide us and show us how to be loving ambassadors for you throughout our community. Amen.
Great all the input we've had. We are going to so just to highlight some of them. Helen Bennett, great story this far of treatment for cancer, for Paige, for Liz Cronchy, many health problems and her father recently died, and also now for Amanda Gann, which will keep Amanda in your prayers. There's others there as well, Helen Mannion. And before we come to communion, there's a big thank you to give, though, and that is for all of the children's work that Jen Jordan Moss, if you'd like to wake up for a moment over there. And Jen, just before we come to communion, I just wanted to give you a very small token of our thanks for all the years you've given to children's work. Jen has been absolutely devoted, Sunday by Sunday, the Celebrate Teens, and now she's going on to another role with work, and so she can't do this focus on children's work. But a massive thank you to you, Jen, for all that you've done. Story of the